You are listening to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today, we are talking with Pastor Jeff Mose.
Well, welcome or welcome back to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast. I am Lydia Miller here with my dad, Pastor Jeff, and we are jumping back into our series. We took a little break last week, but we're jumping back into our series that we've just kind of titled, What Does the Bible Say About Blank? And we're trying to do our best to talk about some hot topic issues or things that seem to be relevant in culture right now and hopefully give you a biblical perspective on a modern day subject or problem. Today we are going to talk about something that seems unfortunately really prevalent in our, not just our national or world society now, but also kind of close to home in our church family as well. We're going to talk about the subject of suicide. Now, this is something that we talked about in our Glad You Asked series. We answered this question about suicide and talked about it a little bit and got a ton of comments from people and unfortunately some really sad stories of families that have been deeply touched by suicide. And so we want to focus on this subject a little bit because it can feel like suicide is more of a modern day issue, that it's maybe not necessarily seen in biblical times. We know it's more an issue now in our country, in our community than ever before. It's actually increased 200% in the last 50 years in the U.S. And there's about one death every 11 minutes caused by suicide. It's the second leading cause of death in young people. So it clearly is an incredible issue right now. But was it an issue in biblical times? If we always look to the Bible for wisdom, are there any people that we can relate with or stories that we can look at that would help us with what we're dealing with today?
Yeah, very much so. And again, those are some sad statistics, but I certainly see it. I certainly see a rise in depression, anxiety. We could probably talk about all kinds of things in culture that have caused that. And maybe it just wasn't as recorded in years past. Maybe the reality is it hasn't risen as much, but I certainly sort of feel it. It seems more palpable now than ever before. But yeah, literally in all of biblical times, you know, just kind of researching a little bit with regards to this issue of suicide, there's at least six that are recorded in Scripture. Probably the most famous of all of them would be Judas, when, you know, he betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He goes out into what is known as the Gehenna Valley, kind of where we get that idea of hell or Hades from, and he commits suicide. It's now called the Field of Blood or the Valley of Blood just because of that. They've kind of marked the spot for that. So that's probably the most well-known. Some would say Samson committed suicide even though he was trying to kill the Philistines. You know, remember when he pushes the walls of that building and asks God for strength and it collapses on him? Many would say that he committed suicide. Saul's armor bearer committed suicide as well, a guy by the name of Abimelech. It's probably six that are recorded in Scripture that we know of. So certainly this is not just a modern day event. It's happened all throughout human history. As long as sin has existed, there's sort of been this desire, I think, to get life over with because it's too painful, too difficult, those kinds of things. And I literally think people have struggled with it all throughout.
We know statistics again would show us that about two-thirds of every person who commits suicide is struggling deeply with depression. So although we can't really gain a lot from people in Scripture that have gone through with this, we can gain a lot from people in Scripture who have very clearly struggled with depression and made it through with the help of God. Are there stories of that?
Very much so. And again, you know, when we counsel people that are in the midst of depression or maybe thinking in that direction, certainly we want to point them back to some people that walk through some similar struggles in life. If you look at Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, he comes to that point where he feels as though life is absolutely meaningless, but somehow Solomon was able to overcome as well, and often we'll talk through that a bit. Job obviously came to that point where, you know, his wife even said, listen, curse God and die. I mean, get it over with. And so he struggled with that as well. We see it literally in the life of the Apostle Paul, too, where he says at one point in time, listen, we despaired even of life itself. I think points in times, especially in ministry and those kinds of things, people came to the end of the juncture. The one that I often like to use is Jonah, because Jonah was sort of called by God to go and preach the word to the Ninevites, and he eventually gets to the point, he goes, listen, throw me overboard. I don't want to be on this assignment that God's given to me, so just get my life over with. And literally from the depths of the fish, then he cries out to God. So there's several examples of Scripture of people who have struggled. Probably the best one with regards to depression is actually Elijah. Remember, he makes his way and ravens feed him and all kinds of things happen in his life. But he's going through a tremendous amount of depression, but he looks to God. And I'm convinced if we can get through that time, we see God in probably the clearest fashion. I always say, as much as we don't like pain, it's probably our greatest teacher and draws us the closest to God, because there's other things we can't depend on. So I do think there's several instances in Scripture where people have gone through depression, been very suicidal, but actually came out of that and did incredible things for God. And God met them in the midst of that. And sometimes we say to people, listen, just hang on. My dad used to always say to me, listen, things are going to get better in the morning. And there's some truth to that. Sometimes if you just sleep on it, sometimes if you just get through it on the other side. I just always want to ask people not to act rashly in the moment, but to hang in there.
If you could speak just personally to some wisdom there in seasons of life when you've maybe struggled with things happening in ministry or struggled to see God's plan in something, have there been things that you've turned to that have been helpful for you?
Yeah, very much so. I do think, you know, as much as this is difficult to do, I do think the Word of God is the primary place to go. How can I relate to somebody? And again, I'll often, in the midst of counseling somebody, say, listen, look at Jonah, look at Elijah, look at Paul, try to see from their testimony how they were able to get through that. You know, there's several psalms that deal with the issue of depression too. Psalm 40 would be a great place to go. There's just several places where you see people that are going through depression but somehow had the ability to lift their eyes off their circumstances and place their eyes on God that got them through it. I remember one time in ministry being so down that I actually didn't have, and this is what often happens with people who are in depression, they can't read the word, they can't pray. I think that's where the body of Christ comes in. So if you've got people around you that are believers and strong spiritually, I think if they can come in and pray over you when you feel as though, man, my prayers aren't going past the ceiling, I don't feel like praying, I'm frustrated with God, I think that's where the body of Christ comes in. Maybe lays hands on you, prays for you, encourages you. I think that kind of relationship at that time is critical. The worst thing to do in a time like that is isolate. I think at points in times like that, you got to call on friends and family members and people to come around you.
I think one of the unfortunate stereotypes, or maybe just perceived stereotypes, is that you just have to have more faith. And if you just had more faith, if you just trusted God more, that it's almost kind of like a fault in your faith, but it's okay to have God and still need a therapist and still need help with your mental health.
Absolutely. And again, I'm even one who would go as far as saying, I think those things were created by God to help us through difficult times, whether it's medicine, whether it's counselors, whether it's therapists. I think in God's economy, those kinds of things were ordained to help us through difficulty. Listen, life on this side of heaven is not easy, and it's getting more difficult all the time. When I look at young people and youth minister, and I've told you this before, but what they're dealing with is compounded compared to what I ever dealt with, and anxiety and struggle and difficulty and depression are at an all-time high. And so I think to use whatever means are available that God has ordained, there's no shame in that. Again, recognize the shrapnel of what happens when we make a decision to end our lives to the people around us. We think it ends the pain, it only begins the pain. And that's why I say to people, listen, get help. Call out, seek it. You've got to do so.
Let's talk to the shrapnel for a second, because that is who we heard from, especially when we answered this question. Parents, loved ones that asked the question, can I know that they're in heaven if they accepted Jesus as a child? Is this unpardonable sin? So can we just speak some clarity to them?
Yeah, we sure can. And here's what I'd say. And I'm always so careful with this, especially when I address it. It's usually the common question that comes up in the youth ministry, and it seems like I have to address it every year. I want you to know that if your loved one knows Christ as their Savior, even if they make a decision, which we recognize is a sinful decision, it's murder, it's self-murder. So the reality is it's sin, but it is a forgivable sin. Listen, there's only one unforgivable sin in Scripture, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, whether that's attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the evil one, or whether that's ultimate rejection of Christ, whatever that might be. There is only one unpardonable sin. It's not suicide. So recognize if your loved one knew Christ as their Savior, that's all God's sort of requirement for entrance into heaven is did you know Christ as your Savior? Not how bad was your sin, not did you do this particular sin, but if you know, this is a forgivable sin. And so I think people have got to recognize that. But I always want to give the caveat. I honestly think when you've been created in the image of God, to say in effect, I want to take the meaning of the purpose that God's given to me and I want to end it, I think is a very serious thing. So I don't want anybody heading in that direction. But for those of you who have loved ones that have taken their lives, if they knew Christ as their Savior, that is not an unpardonable, unforgivable sin.
I know this is something that has been just such a felt need in society right now, for parents right now, for young people right now. And we always want to be a church that meets that felt need, that whatever we're experiencing, that we are doing everything we can to help you walk through life alongside Jesus. So we've been trying to be intentional as of late to give some opportunities to kind of teach to this and help in this area. We've actually compiled a list of professional counselors because we recognize that there is some work that only professionals can do. So if you need a list of professional counselors, Christian counselors that we would sort of sign off on, you can email info@sunnybrookchurch.org and we can send that list your way to get you that information. We also have a night coming up for parents and teachers that work with youth on a regular basis. It's called SEEN. We're going to bring in a licensed counselor, Dr. Chinwe Williams. She's going to come and talk about how we can help the next generation navigate mental health, because we know this is something that is on the forefront of the minds of parents and teachers and young people all over.
Yeah, and I just say avail yourself of those tools. We provide those for a reason. And I hate it when people don't take advantage of it. So do so. Even if it's not a felt need right now, it may be in the future. So please avail yourself of those things.
You can find all of the information for all the things I just mentioned on our website as well. You can look under events and register to come to this SEEN night. It's coming up in a few weeks here now. We hope to see you there.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org or download the Sunnybrook Church app. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.